Good morning, students. Today we're going to talk about another cognitive model of learning. Today we're going to look at Fitz and Posner's stage model of motor learning. So this was a process of learning motor skills that two psychologists, Paul Fitz and Michael Posner, developed in 1967. And it's still widely taught, one of the most widely taught theories used to explain the process of motor learning today. So according to Fitz and Posner's model, there are three stages of learning. The first stage is the cognitive stage, second, the associative stage, and third, the autonomous stage. Stage one, the cognitive stage, is the first stage of this model of motor learning and can be thought of as the understanding stage. So during this stage, the learner is trying to understand the skill and figure out exactly what needs to be done in order to perform it. At this stage, the learners do a lot of thinking. Those neural pathways for specific motor programs are formed at this stage, so a large amount of thought is required to work through the technical requirements of a skill. As a result of this, the movement sequences are often slow, they're inconsistent and inefficient with a large number of errors. So learners in the cognitive stage, they may know what they're doing is not producing the desired result, but they're unsure how to correct it. For example, while learning to shoot a layup, beginners will have many thoughts going through their head relating to the approach steps, takeoff position, arm actions, hoop positions, and so on. With this in mind, it's little wonder that many beginner basketball players completely miss the hoop on their first attempt. The length of time spent in this stage can vary, but generally it's relatively short. With regular trial and error through practice, a learner's proficiency will improve quickly. Learners at this stage can become frustrated if they don't experience success as quickly as they would like. To increase the chances of success, a coach should teach simple fundamental skills by demonstrating and giving very clear instructions. The instructions should also be brief and should focus on only a few technique points at a time. Also, at this stage of learning, feedback is very important and should be provided mostly through demonstrations and explanations. Learners need specific information and attention paid to the most critical elements of the skills. The coaches must also keep in mind that the learner might not understand the task, so the amount and speed of information should be controlled to avoid information overload. The second stage of Fitz and Posner's model is the associative stage, and this can be thought of as the practice stage. So during this stage, the learner has grasped the fundamentals and the mechanics of the skills, and their performance becomes more consistent. Throughout this associative stage, the errors become smaller and also less frequent, as the learner is able to identify and correct them as they occur. Compared to the cognitive stage, the associative stage is quite long, yet many athletes never move beyond this associate stage of learning. While they can recognize errors are being made, they are not always able to identify relevant environmental cues in order to correct them. They may also lack the perception and the timing to perform the skill fluently. For other athletes, the associative stage is a time when their confidence and their experience builds. These learners find that their movements can be linked to specific environmental cues, helping to build a bank of experiences on which to base future decisions. Practice sessions to refine motor skills can be lengthened, and it is the role of the coach to provide a range of experiences to help the learner further determine relevant and irrelevant environmental cues. Coaches should also continue to assist learners to analyze their errors and correct their skills during this stage of learning. The final stage, stage three, is the autonomous stage. And this can be thought of as the automatic stage. So during this stage, the learner can perform the skills consistently and fluently in different environments without real conscious effort. At this stage, the learners focus little attention on the skill basics, but pay more attention to identifying relevant environmental cues to enhance decision making. Improvements at this stage take place slowly. For example, a volleyball player performing a spike no longer needs to think about footwork, body position, and arm swing. Instead, they can focus on the position of the blockers and finding space on the other side of the court for a spike. Even though the players in the autonomous stage can manage their own errors, an experienced coach may often still be necessary to help identify those minor technical shortages that have caused an increase in performance errors. This can lead to a skilled performer returning to the associative stage for a brief period while they make these minor adjustments to the skills. Generally, a skilled performer will fluctuate between the associative stage and the autonomous stage throughout their career. So, in summary, if we look at stage one, the cognitive stage. At this stage, learners typically A, spend a large amount of time thinking about what is required and working through those technical requirements of a skill. B, they have poor timing. C, they make lots of errors. And D, they make movements that are slow, inconsistent, and inefficient. So then at the cognitive stage, in summary, the coach should provide demonstrations and explanations of the skill, use a range of motivational techniques, break the skill into parts where possible rather than having the student practice a whole skill, use mainly closed drills for practice. For example, when coaching someone new to basketball, practice shooting alone rather than within a game environment. The coach should also have learners follow an example first and then try the skills themselves with more instruction. The coach should allow for constant but small blocks of practice with plenty of recovery time. And lastly, coaches should provide feedback regularly. In summary, stage two, the associative stage. At this stage, the learners typically refine the accuracy and consistency of the skill. They make fewer errors. They begin to identify and correct their own errors. They begin to develop confidence and experience. They link their movements to specific environmental cues and build a bank of experiences on which to base future decisions. At this stage, stage two, the associative stage, coaches should mainly practice skills as a whole skill. They should include more problem-solving drills to develop strategies. They should use a combination of distributed and massed practice. They should use specificity to ensure focus is specific to the needs of the athlete. And they should offer frequent and detailed feedback, but also encourage the learners to conduct self-analysis to consolidate their understanding and find solutions. Lastly, in summary, stage three, the autonomous stage. So at this stage, learners typically perform the skills accurately and consistently. They detect more environmental cues and faster. They focus more on strategies and tactics. They also improve slower at this stage. And lastly, the learners also benefit from psychological skills training. In the autonomous stage, the coaches should use problem-solving drills and authentic game environments. They should develop game plans and strategies with the athlete based on their strengths and their weaknesses. They provide expert, highly attuned feedback, and then also they should use specificity to guide their sessions. So students, you can see today that we've gone through that the Fitts and Posner's stage model of motor learning, and there are three stages to that.